Welcome to this morning's audio recording of Choral Eucharist from Belfast Cathedral for Sunday the 12th of December, the third Sunday of Advent. The celebrant is Dean Stephen Ford. The preacher is the Reverend Dr. Maithri White. When the service ends, please remember to hang up straight away.
And good morning. And welcome to our service of Choral Eucharist on this, the third Sunday of Advent, even if it is a rather cold, damp, and miserable Sunday morning. But we trust that the worship, the music, the prayers, the scriptures, the sharing in communion will lift your hearts and souls this day. So welcome to those of you who are visitors, along with our regular congregation. And welcome also to those who will be listening to this service later on the audio facility. Now today we're going to light our third Advent candle, the pink one. The pink candle stands for the rejoicing that is properly part of our Advent preparations. And the Latin word for rejoice is gaudete, the first word of this morning's epistle reading when Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So hence, this Sunday is also known as Gaudete Sunday. Now tomorrow, another important part of our cathedral Christmas preparation begins. Tomorrow is the first of the 11 days of this year's Belfast Black Santa sit-out. If you listen to Radio Ulster at around 7:25 tomorrow morning, you should be able to hear me giving a live interview about the sit-out. So in advance, may I thank everyone who is going to help on the steps over the next 2 weeks, and just as importantly, those who will be doing the counting behind the scenes. If you are passing by over the next 11 days, do please stop by and give as generously as you can. If we're to meet last year's target, we have £220,000 to raise over the next 2 weeks. Not a problem. Finally, you will see inside the back cover of the service sheet that we are looking for a librarian, a music librarian, to help with the music department to run the library for the choir. If this is something that you would like to do, either as a choir member or as a member of the congregation, please do contact Matthew Owens. And can also at this point pay tribute and say thank you to all who worked so hard for the concert, which was held on Friday evening with the children's choir and also with the songbirds. It was a wonderful concert, much enjoyed by everyone. And our choir, of course, have been working very hard, as they also had the concert yesterday in the portico of Ards. Now, we need to light that pink Gaudete candle. Would you please stand? And as we light the third candle counting down to Christmas. So, people of God, return. You are called to be God's own. From the mountains announce the good news, for God comes in justice and peace to all who follow his ways. You are God's children. Lord, make us one in the peace of Christ today and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end.
Amen.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness, and to put on the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The epistle is found in the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians in the fourth chapter, beginning at the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What then should we do? It's a question that's slightly anxious and arising out of a bit of worry. It's a question many of us are familiar with through these past 2 years. What then should we do? This question is asked 3 times in our gospel reading by the crowd, tax collectors, and soldiers. To put it another way, how then should we live? Last week, we heard John the Baptist's voice crying in the wilderness, calling for repentance. Today, he is a force of fury, threatening excess, fire, and judgment, and questioning the genuineness of people's repentance. Now, I was going to say, imagine John the Baptist standing here, but it's a bit difficult with the Christmas tree and the crib. But John the Baptist has been in the wilderness. So try and picture him, even if you don't picture him up front. He's wild. He looks wild. He's been eating locusts and wild honey. He's strong and imposing and has wild hair, I would suspect, because there was no possible grooming out in the wilderness. He wears a tunic of camel hair with a leather belt. That's the description we have in another gospel. Imagine him standing there with his staff raised high, pointing at the people and shouting, "You brood of vipers." Now, at this point, I must give you a bit of a health and safety warning. I'm going to talk about snakes. And if, like me, you are freaked out by them, you have to be warned. To be honest, I actually sacrificed my peace of mind for this sermon, because my research gave me some horrible images of vipers, and I might actually have nightmares with them. But vipers. In Ireland, we have no snakes. You have no idea how lucky you are that St. Patrick drove them out. But I grew up with snakes. They were everywhere, under beds, inside cupboards, on windowsills, draped over window door hinges, and I think I was actually scarred for life. So in Sri Lanka, we have a snake called the king cobra, and people call it the good snake because it gives people a chance to escape. It coils itself up, it often hisses, and waves its head before it strikes. But not the viper. The viper lies in wait in the undergrowth and senses small amounts of body heat and then leaps out at you. I have actually seen one standing on the end of its tail before it launches itself. Not nice snakes. The venomous Palestinian viper inhabits Galilee and the wilderness around. And so, not surprising, it appears both in the Old and the New Testament as a metaphor. Isaiah calls God's people sinful, and he calls them those who hatch vipers. Jesus uses it against the scribes and the Pharisees. John is not using a random image and the Jews certainly would have known the metaphor. It is also likely that John may have met his share of vipers in the wilderness. But the question is, why is John so furious, especially with people coming to be baptized? Why attack them? You'd think he'd be pleased to see the crowds. But he was raging. Why? Because he knew the Israelites had a sense of entitlement as God's people. They were proud to be descended from Abraham, God's chosen people. And he may have thought it wasn't so much about repentance as it was about a sense of privilege. Maybe it was for a religious experience. You hear the exasperation in his voice as he says, "Don't even begin to tell me Abraham is your ancestor. God can raise children of Abraham from these stones." It's interesting because sometimes we have a similar attitude. Our parents, grandparents, and maybe great-grandparents were Christians. We are descendants of churchgoers, maybe clergy, and pillars of the church. Maybe we subconsciously assume this privileges us before God, or that it puts us on an inside track to God. Maybe the crowd wanted to be baptized by this famous prophet. Perhaps it was a status symbol to show how religious they were, but there was something that John detected in their attitude. Maybe they wanted to make sure they were okay spiritually, or wanted a spiritual high. But notice that John squashes those expectations. And he tells them they actually need to live in a way that bears fruits worthy of repentance, or God will judge them harshly. Last week, the dean told us what repentance was. It was making a new beginning when we turn around to face the Son of God, and we turn our backs on self-importance and self-service. I suspect the crowd was somewhat freaked out and nervous by this challenge to their settled, complacent, entitled worldview. They had come for a simple baptism, but God was demanding more from them. Realizing this, they ask him, "What then should we do?" Did you notice how specific John's reply was? He points to practical actions and life choices. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I wonder if the church today would have told them to read their Bibles, pray more, come for some meetings and Bible studies. You see, we are so used to an internalized faith and spirituality. And these are important. But John was absolutely right. Far more important than our religious observances is how we live in our day-to-day lives. An internalized faith that is not lived out externally is pointless. If you have two coats, give to anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Now, unlike our consumerist world, where we have loads of clothes, people in biblical times and in some parts of the world have very few items of clothes. So this is not about a charity shop clear out where we get rid of unwanted stuff. This is about generous, sacrificial giving. It can be the giving of your time, your money, your energy, your possessions, in a sacrificial way. As a postgraduate living in Nottingham, I experienced an amazing generosity and love. I needed accommodation, and I was put in touch with a rector who had a flat in his rectory. When I went to see it, it was a Victorian flat. It needed heating, flooring, furnishing, way beyond a student's resources. But the church community stepped in. I had to go to Sri Lanka due to a family illness. But the rector's wife emailed me and told me that the church community would fix it. When I returned, I walked into a warm, transformed flat. There was even a full fridge and larder. There was £20 in an envelope for ready cash, a bowl of fruits and chocolate. There were fresh roses on the windowsill and bedside table. And there were hot water bottles in the bed so that I could crash out after a long flight. I sat on the bed and cried. It was extraordinary. It was love extended by God's family to an unknown foreign student they'd never seen. I know a Christian academic in Glasgow who, with her GP husband, live on an average national wage and give the rest of their money away. During the time when I was ill, a young Christian couple faithfully brought us regular meals and gifts throughout the time of my operation and later treatment. Michael Sheen, the well-known Welsh actor, recently sold his houses to fund social projects in Wales and says that he will use his future earnings for these. To the tax collectors, John says, don't collect more than you should. To the soldiers, he says, do not extort money. Be satisfied with what you get. This was a call to live with integrity in their corrupt environment of Roman rule. We too live in a fallen world. As we watch the scandals emerging from Westminster, we realize that integrity is not highly valued. Everywhere we see what the Dean described as self-service and self-importance. I matter. I am important. My success, my image, my future, my comforts. So what then should we do? Throughout the Gospels, Jesus calls us to live radically and differently, loving God, paralleled by loving our neighbor as ourselves. We say these words every Sunday morning. If we live them, we can change our world. The story of the Good Samaritan, told later by Luke, illustrates who my neighbor is. The Samaritan acts with immense generosity and personal sacrifice to care for a stranger, a Jewish enemy, in fact. We come to church, we pray, and we voice repentance, and we hear scripture. But what ultimately matters is how we live as God's people. As James put it, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? We heard in the Psalms about the Lord caring for the stranger. John points to the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the one greater than him. And during Advent, we meditate on the coming of Christ. At Christmas, we will celebrate his birth. With new uncertainties surrounding Christmas celebrations now, we are all wondering what might happen and what then should we do? What then should we do at a time like this? Whether the practicalities of the Christmas season, whether they are changed or not, and whatever they are, we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Even if we are constrained by movement, we are never constrained in loving and giving. Christmas is about God's gift to us. Whatever happens, we can find ways to give generously, whether financial, whether a meal, whether it's material goods, whether it's support, or simply lifting someone's spirits. We can always give. A recent scheme I read about in Scotland has people volunteering to be the guardian of a young unaccompanied refugee child to support and care for them. There is so much that our world needs, so much that we can give if we put our mind to it. And whatever darkness there is around us through this pandemic, the light and the love of Christ can and should shine. In the name of Christ, amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Let us pray that the way of the Lord may be followed in the church and the world. We pray that the church shall never rest complacently on past blessings, but shall forever desire to know and to fulfill her present calling, and so be renewed for future generations. Give her ministers wisdom to instruct all who come for guidance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring harmony in the disputes and jealousies that keep people apart. Bless with the spirit of justice those who govern, and help them to do their duty according to what is right. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide us in our daily work and in all our relationships, so that the faith we profess shall be seen in our lives. As tomorrow we begin this year's cathedral sit-out, make us thankful for all we possess and generous to share with those in need. And among those in particular need this morning, we pray for the people of Kentucky and elsewhere in the United States, who this weekend have lost loved ones, homes, and livelihoods destroyed by the tornadoes which have swept across the country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have mercy on all who are oppressed and unjustly treated. Relieve all who are crushed by heavy taxation and kept poor by the greed of those who rule them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We rejoice in the memory of the souls of the departed who in this life sought to bear good fruit in the name of their Master. Gather us in our time into the harvest of heaven, where all doubts are ended and all truth made plain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask that you stand with all whose lives have been touched by personal experience of COVID-19, especially those suffering at present and those who have lost loved ones. Bless all who work in healthcare, the fields of research and vaccination, and those with leadership responsibilities in these challenging times. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us, to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Look upon us, we pray, in mercy, not judgment. Draw us from hatred to love. Make the frailty of our praise a dwelling place for your glory. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Salvation is your gift through the coming of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. and by him you will make all things new. When he returns in glory to judge the world. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of him, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying...
Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And as our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Father, we give you thanks for these heavenly gifts. Kindle us with the fire of your Spirit, that when the Christ comes again, we may shine as lights before his face, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Righteousness shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you, that you may know the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with you and remaining with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining with us today for morning worship from Belfast Cathedral. Please hang up now.